Yud Gimel Av, 29th of July, Rabbi Yehoshua Hartman, Shema.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A pleasure to see such a nice oilam during this summer break. Okay, let's start. Speaking about learning Torah, as we know that there's halacha pertaining Thursday night. Anybody know which halacha I'm referring to? Which halacha will happen Thursday night? I'm sorry? Shiduchim, okay. The father of Shimon, Rabbi says Shimon's available. A great bachar, let's, vakasha. Rabbi says, the night of Lel, it will be Lel Tisvot Thursday night, right?
Cholon,
mitzvah. But what's written in the Shulchan Aruch?
This Thursday night or this every Thursday night?
This Thursday night.
Which date?
Lel Tesvav.
Lel Tesvav Ba'av.
Right? That's what happens, okay?
Chamish Tesvav, lo yom tovim.
Shulchan Aruch, Habibi, you're Ish Halacha. Shulchan Aruch.
No, I'm trying to remember.
No, not Chassidisha stuff.
No, if there's anything associated with
it. I come from a Chassidisha family, so I'm allowed to say that. It says in the Shulchan Aruch in the Ramah and Siman Resh Mevav in Yoridea that a person is supposed to increase his learning at nights from Tetzvav Av onwards. Again, we live in a society that Adraba, now's the time that we go to the Bahamas, we go to everywhere, and we have Fakert, now people are going to a holiday, and who knows if they can even crack a sefer open. It's Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, black and white, and on that it says the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Man di Yosef. Whoever adds learning Torah, Yosef HaKadosh Baruch Hu will add him Chaim. And Chas V'Shalom, Faket, that's what's written in the Shulchan Aruch. So Rabbi said, from the night of Lel Tesvav, now does that mean every night to increase another minute? The Halacha L'maisa, I don't know. But I do know that from Lel Tesvav onwards, learning at nights has to be increased. It's Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi said, we'll look, in Rosh Hashanah, we'll ask the Baal Halacha tomorrow, maybe to speak about tomorrow.
Why?
Okay?
Why?
Because it says there are a few reasons. First of all, the nights are getting longer.
Yeah.
And since nights were given only for learning Torah,
right,
not for watching television, so therefore, now the nights are longer, so you have to learn Torah. That's A. B, because then they stopped cutting the trees for the Atzei Amaracha. It's a Gemara in Bo'avas, or Kuf Kafala from the base, and also a Gemara in Tainis, at the end of Tainis, that from Lel Tesvav onwards, you start getting into gear, you could say also for Rosh Hashanah. You start getting ready into motion, and every night to learn more than usual.
What's the connection with Tafiyud?
I guess now they have more. I don't remember now the exact thing. Maybe there's more time now. I don't know with you.
The
Shulchan Aruch is in Yerodea, Hichos Talmud Torah, and the Ramah there. Reshma resigned. Mashu Gazette, yes.
So if you increase learning from Tetzvav onwards, then the next year,
Tetzvav,
you increase more.
Again, where and what? Maybe there's a Tkufa that, once there's...
There is a Yerida,
when the nights get shorter again. This is when the nights are getting longer. So it's a cycle of the year. So everybody say, we live in a society, it's always good to remember, that unfortunately we live according to a Goyish calendar. And in my ears, the thing that sounds the biggest oxymoron is the following two names. Elul, August. Ha ha. Elul sounds, hey, Elul, get ready, Motek, there's Yom HaDin around the corner. August means, have fun. Do whatever you wish. Just forget about everything. Chill. You well-deserved holiday. I can tell you, in the door of my parents, no one had well-deserved holidays. They worked the whole time. Hayom la'asoysav, machalika b'scholam. The holiday you'll get now in Haba. Here there's a whole mentality that like for a month, you gotta rest and recharge batteries. From what? From what I was sweating so long during the year. Okay. Ask yourselves if we're working that difficult. I can just tell you that I once saw the clips on the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Susa Yugen Alayni. I hope I'm not getting into politics by saying Susa Yugen Alayni, Zecha Tzadik Lebracha. According to most opinions, that's what happened. And I saw that he, I was in Sao Paulo once for a few hours in the Lubavitcher building there, And someone asked me if you want to see a clip of the Rebbe. I said, yes, Olam Halo. And you see over there the following scenario. There's an American yo-yo gvir, not from, and a shaliach of Chabad in some kind of Ekveld in America. And they're coming Sunday to see the Rebbe. And that was the scene. And the American fellow shakes their hands with the Rebbe and says, Rabbi Snarrison, I shook hands with the President of the United States of America, I shook hands with the Prime Minister of Israel, and now I'm shaking hands with you. If you would be the Rebbe, what would you respond? He didn't move a muscle. Nothing. He didn't say anything. Like it's a ridiculous statement. Nothing what to say. He didn't say anything. And then he goes on saying, as a token of my appreciation for the teaching of the Rebbe, of the Rebbe's, I gave $250,000 to Church University to promote teaching the non-Jews the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. So then says the Rebbe, a Jew's not allowed to give money to a church. Because he tells him. Says, no, it's not a church, it's Church University. Ah, fine. The Rebbe asks, do they teach their religion? He says, no. You know for sure they don't teach their religion? Yeah. Okay, fine. As a token of appreciation to what the Shaliach of Chabad is doing in our city, I gave $250,000 to Beit Chabad. So the Rebbe responds, do you think I'm happy with $250,000? So it seems like he wants to get more money. But then he turned around and said, tell the Shaliach of Chabad who's standing there, as long as there's one kid in your community who doesn't know the Aleph Beis, we failed. And here comes his Yisoid. And this was the main theme of his clip. Whatever you're doing, I promise you, you could do double. That was Yisoid. Whatever, you think you're probably working so hard. Oh, I promise you, whatever you're doing, you could do double. Vaharaya. There are people that do double. Are there other people who do double than you? Yes, they are. So therefore, tell yourself next time, I'm so overburdened and I just can't anymore. And whatever you're doing, I promise you, you could easily do double. Well, and nothing will happen.
Half a million.
Okay, so that, good. So you're going back to the money. I guess you're a soicher. I'm speaking about the concept, first of all. Right? The point is that if we think that we're overburdened, then we don't. And I need this holiday now for 6 weeks to rest. Yeah, really? How many seconds did you finish throughout the year? How many? How many midas did we fix throughout the year? So who says we deserve a holiday? It's just the mentality of the Goyish calendar that this time of the year, you deserve a holiday. Fine. But ask yourself if you cannot do double, and I promise you, Nusin Bam Nusin, you'll see that it's easy to do double. I'm not speaking only to Nusin, I'm speaking to everyone. It's easy, we can do double. If you finish one Masechta, I promise you could have finished two. If you finished two, you could have finished four. Ask yourself, you'll see. You know what's the way out of checks it out? Take a pen and paper one day and write down what you do every minute of the day. Did you ever do that exercise? I'm telling you, you won't believe what you're going to discover. I did it a few times. Not every minute, but every 10 minutes, you write at the end of the day, you'll suddenly notice buckets of hours that you wasted. You won't believe it. Ad kama. Mamish. You'll see. You cannot imagine how many hours we wasted. It reminds me that once I was in Boca Raton, and the Rebbe was giving there a shiur in Mishnah Berurah, and he brought down the Mishnah Berurah and said, Mekufin, hey, that a person who's working should learn 5 to 6 hours a day, a working person. So the whole oilam started to giggle. And the Rebbe himself felt a little funny. And then someone woke up, it was a yomtiv, and someone in the back got up. He was wearing a green shirt, meaning not necessarily yeshivish. And he says, why is everybody laughing? He was like even a little bit upset. So they told him, because the Rebbe just now said, if you're working, you should learn 4 or 5 hours a day. Yeah, what's funny? It's very funny. If you're working, you have time to learn 4 or 5 hours a day. So then he asked the oilam, you don't spend 4 or 5 hours a day surfing the internet, watching movies, and doing all kinds of shtuzim? You don't do it 4 or 5 hours a day? So What's that word? Suddenly silence. Silence. So that's a big nekuda to remember, that whatever we're doing, I promise you we could do double. Now, speaking about diligence and learning Torah, there's shesh mitzvahs tmidiyas. Nachon chaveh. What are the shesh mitzvahs tmidiyas? Can anybody tell me? The six mitzvahs tmidiyas? The Bi'al Locha brings it in the beginning of the... it's from the Sefer HaChinuch? Before Abbas Hashem, there's Anoichi, to know there's Hashem. A, Hashem's Echad, to believe in Yichud Hashem. And then, Abbas Hashem. Yiras Hashem. What? Melo Sassur is number five. And what's number six? No. And to be Oyvin Hashem. Right? It's six mitzvahs tmidiyas. Interesting. Talmud Torah is not one of them. Talmud Torah is not one of the shesh mitzvahs tmidiyas. Why not? Because as many times you're not learning Torah. On Tishba, which we just had this week, you're not supposed to learn Torah. Chas v'shalom, if a person is an Avelus, he's not supposed to learn Torah. If he's in the Mokom, this Mokom, he said, you're not allowed to learn Torah. So it's not shesh mitzvahs tmidiyas. It's not one of the six. But nevertheless, dafka by Talmud Torah it says, v'shiftecha b'visecha, uvelechtecha v'aderech, uveshachmecha v'kumecha. Which means always. When you're sitting, when you're going, when you're getting up, when you're home. If Talmud Torah is not one of the mitzvahs tmidiyas, why did the Torah write b'shiftecha b'visecha uvelechtecha v'aderech only by Talmud Torah? How come it doesn't say ve'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha b'shiftecha b'visecha uvelechtecha v'aderech uveshachmecha v'kumecha? How come it doesn't say it's Hashem Elokecha tira b'shiftecha b'visecha uvelechtecha v'aderech uveshachmecha v'kumecha? Dafka by Talmud Torah, which is not one of the six, the Torah says, do it always. How do you understand that? That in the mitzvahs which are tmidiyas, you don't say that expression, and Talmud Torah, which is not one of the six, it does say it. So, Pesach Ravutna Zatzal asks this kasha in the Pachad Yitzchak, and he answers the following. He answers, if you think the words b'shivtecha b'besecha or v'lechtecha v'aderech v'shachmu of kumecha are coming to say, to answer the question, kama, vifal, for how long should you learn, then it's a good kasha. But that's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk is not coming to answer the question, kama. Rather, the pasuk is coming to answer the question, ech, how should you learn Torah? And the answer is, you should learn Torah with consistency, without distractions. Always. Namely, there's a difference he gives a mushroom of if I say someone played the piano for 2 hours. That's one expression. Or if you say he played a piece of Mozart which takes 2 hours to play. And both times I'm pointing out that he played for 2 hours. But the difference is that the first time it's just the quantity. He played the piano for 2 hours. And what would it have been if he would play an hour and a half? So he played a little bit less. But if you say he played a piece which takes 2 hours to play, if he did an hour and a half, it's incomplete. It's not only the half an hour is missing, the hour and a half they did play is also missing. Torah is something that has to be done constantly. When you do it consistently. Not constantly, consistently, that's what I'm looking for. Rabbi said, the Chazon Ish speaks about the whole time, that if someone learns, and then he learns, and then for 5 minutes, and then he takes a drink, and then he sits down again, another 10 minutes, he answers the phone, and then another 5 minutes, then he texts, and then, it's crime, that's not the music of Torah. The music of Torah is reached only when you do it by Ritzifus, even if it's only an hour a day, or 2 hours a day. Those 2 hours should be without distractions, and that you're focused, and you do it straight. Otherwise, even what you're learning is chaser, not only the bittul time. In Yiras Shemayim, if a person's Yiras Shemayim for 18 hours a day, and not for 6 hours, hypothetically, that was Mishayach, he's missing 6 hours, but the 18 hours he did. Talmud Torah, if he did a touch and go, so even the touch is not called Talmud Torah. And then it's known in the Sefer, written in the Chazon Ish, that he gives a whole description. What happens to you when you learn an hour straight? 3 hours straight? It's unbelievable. The Chazon Ish can tell you. After 4 hours learning straight Torah without distraction, you're already in a different world. That's what Chazon Ish points out. You're not a regular person anymore. What interests regular people does not interest you anymore. And he goes on saying, if you learn 5 hours, After 8 hours, you're a malach. That's a Rosh list. He mamash gives you play by play what happens to a person when he learns Torah hour after hour consecutively. After 1 hour. But what happens, and then he points out the chazish, the hardest time of learning is the beginning. Till you get into it. But you know what happens a lot of times the way we learn? We're constantly at the beginning. Because, let's say 15 minutes is the beginning. So we learn for 15 minutes, and then we take a break. Here we got a chill. Well-deserved chill time. As we mentioned before, you got to chill. You're learning already for 15 minutes. And then you take a drink, you go to here, you go to there, you check the news. And then you start again. You're always at the beginning stage. So that's how come people say, I don't enjoy this. I don't like this Torah business. I don't get any anah. People are telling me this is the biggest pleasure in the world. I don't see how. And you know what's the reason for it? Because they're always at the beginning stage. They never went beyond that first stage. So, it's not coming to answer for how long should you learn Torah. Rather, how do you learn Torah? What's the way to do it right? So Rabbi said, when you learn Torah b'emes, you disconnect the phones, you put everything aside. I can tell you, growing up as a kid, in my home, my father, who unfortunately died as a young man, he was 53 years old when he died. I was 19 then, but I remember as a kid, what was the highlight of our home? Every day, from a quarter to 6 to 7:15 in the evening, my father was learning a charusa with Yossi Heber. And not Yossi Heber, that's his son Shmuel Heber, the chazan of the shul. And in our home we knew, Daddy is learning from a quarter to 6 to 7:15 in the evening. Nothing could stop that. President Obama could call up, whoever was president those days. He doesn't make phone calls. And everybody in the house, shh, Daddy's learning. Daddy's learning now. And we grew up with this feeling that the most important hour of the day is when my father is learning Torah with his chavrusa. There's a mirror to go. It was an hour and a half. It wasn't the whole day. But there was an hour and a half in the house every day. I remember my father would tell us, you could only disturb me if it's Pikuach Nefesh or Sotek Pikuach Nefesh. I remember once I knocked on the door and I told him, Daddy, Ezra, my older brother, is hitting me and beating me up. Is that Sotek Pikuach Nefesh? Is that in that category? He said yes, and he took care of it. But my boy said, try to do that. Try to do it at home that everybody knows this hour. You don't cancel this hour, come what may, you stick to it. That's a very important yisod. And I grew up with that. And it's always in my mind that, oh, Daddy's learning with Shmuel Heber. Shh, that's a holy hour. I remember since I was 5 or 4 years old. It's very important, this in him. When you do learn, the world's dead. Rabbi said, I'm going to bring it through what the Chofetz Chaim says. The Chofetz Chaim, the Heleke Heleke Chofetz Chaim, says, Adam Kiyomus Boil, right? It's not this week's Pasha, a different Pasha. Adam Kiyomus Boil. Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimin Ela B'mi Shemei Misat Smolem. Torah is only going to be done through someone that kills himself for it, so to speak. Ask the Chofetz Chaim, Torah is always related with Chaim. It's Chaim Yila Machzikim Boil. As a labor de gazach, what's the pshat here? The end divrei Torah miskaimin el b'misha meimizat mona. Torah is related to death. Usually, Torah is related to chaim. Asar advarim nikrim chaim, says the Medrash. The first thing is Torah. Said the Chofetz Chaim, and I found out afterwards in the Shmiras Haloshen, he brings it down in Haggah. It's a Maaseh Shoya. He says the Chofetz Chaim, he gives a mashal, but I found that afterwards a Maaseh Shoya. There was a fellow that had a thriving shop business, booming, great, Baruch Hashem, great parnasa. But the days are going by, and he's an Amoritz. He's going to leave the world as an Amoritz. No, he doesn't want to do that. But he's like the Benny, but he has this business to run. One day he went to shul, Shabbos, that he always went, and he heard a shiur from the Rav. Sounds good. He stayed by. And he stayed there till 10 o'clock. Meanwhile, the customers are coming in and out the store with his wife staying there. And they ask his wife, where's your husband? She said, I don't know. I don't know where yesterday. He's here by now. I don't know. I hope everything's okay. At 10 o'clock, he shows up, the husband. So the wife asks him, no, what happened? So people coming out, it's okay, don't worry, everything's okay. Okay, they forgot about it. The next morning, oh, come on. He doesn't show up till 10 o'clock. She said, this time I got to check what's happening. She appointed someone to take care, and she went to the shul. And she looks through the window, and she sees the guy's learning in the shir. She waited outside patiently. When he comes out at 10 o'clock, she tells him, what are you doing? You know, we got a business, we got a store to run. We started at 8 o'clock in the morning. Customers are coming and going. They're asking, where are you? We have competitors who are waiting for a downfall. What are you doing? He said, my dear wife, I want to ask you a question. What would be if I died this morning? Malach HaMavis came and took me. Would you tell Malach HaMavis, I'm sorry, we have a business to run. I'm sorry, you can't do that. No, with Malach HaMavis, nobody negotiates. Right? There's no negotiations with Malach HaMavis. When he comes, Zell. Why don't you consider it from now on, my dear wife, that till 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm dead. I'm not alive. Baruch Hashem, there's no Levaya and Shiva. At 10 o'clock, there's Priyas Amazim. On a daily basis. That's it. Meaning, what's the Chofetz Chaim saying? It's not negotiable. This is the time I learn, I'm dead. Just like you don't negotiate with Malach HaMavis, you don't negotiate with me. For these 2 hours, I don't care about the business. Because if Malach HaMavis doesn't care about the business either. He comes and takes me. The boy said, that's the only way how to do it. Because otherwise, I'll cancel. I'm sorry today. I'm busy. You called the chavrus the minute before. I'm sorry. Something popped up. We'll see you tomorrow. Shalom, shalom. And once you start negotiating with the hour of learning Torah, many times there'll be distractions. But this halacha again, the Shechonah Chonor Chaim, Simon Kufnun Hei. You put aside an hour, and you don't cancel it. It's not negotiable. I'm dead. That's what it means. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. So Rabbi said, that's point number one to explain the chashivas of learning Torah and how to do it. And how to do it, that when you come, nothing cancels it, no matter what good deal you have around the corner. It says, afilu behefsed godel. That's what it says in the Chaber. Now I'm learning, vazel. Okay, Rabbi said. Let's go on another nekuda about Shema. Okay, it's very much relevant to Tisha B'Av that we just went through. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How would you translate that into English? What does Shema Yisrael mean? Hear, O Israel. So what does it mean? What are those two words for?
Listen,
hear us. Is it coming to say, hey you, I got something to tell you. Come here. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Is that what it means? That's what it sounds.
Der Herr.
But how can we not say Shema Yisrael keep Shabbos? Shema Yisrael put on tefillin. Daf can hear you say Shema Yisrael. If Shema Yisrael is just a way of calling your attention, hey Rebbe, come here. So you could say it on Tariag Mitzvahs. Why is it said Daf can hear?
It's an introduction to a philosophic idea that you have.
There's many other philosophical ideas in Torah. And we don't say Shema Yisrael by them. And it's not philosophical. Philosophical is it's a mitzvah. Hashem Echad. Why is it called philosophical? But even if it is, it's not the philosophical ones. Right? What does hear, O Israel, mean, Chabad? Is it just announcing, calling your attention? No, it's not. It's much more than that, Rabbi Yisrael.
The first of the mitzvahs to media, as you said.
That's not enough. That's not enough. It's not enough to say because it's the first mitzvah to media, therefore it says Shema. It's not enough. Okay. What is Shema Yisrael mean, Rabbi Yisrael? And there's a big ayin in the Shema, which, with a big dal, and says the word ed. What are we saying for Shema Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael? So here comes a big Yisrael Chabad. The Jewish people are in the world to announce to the world not only that there's an Eibush there, which is, of course, important in its own right, but the Jewish people are in the world to tell the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was an Echad. What does it mean, Hashem Echad? Moshe, Pashup Shat, you tell me, what does it mean Hashem is one? He's one and not two? What's the Pashup Shat Hashem is one?
Unique.
What does it mean? He's the only reality in the world. That's what it means. There's no other reality. Ein Oid means not only there's no other God, there's no other reality. So what do you mean? This phone is not a reality? Is this phone God?
Yeah.
No, it's not God. No.
Everything comes from the...
No, that's not enough. Well, we say this is a big issue of the Emunah, we got to clarify it. That everything comes from Hashem does not mean Hashem Echad. Because once Hashem created, maybe it's on its own. Hashem Echad means there's no other reality but Hashem. So what about us? Are you God?
I'm not God.
You're not God. I'm not God either.
No.
Do we exist?
Yes.
So then what does it mean Hashem Echad?
Because he's constantly renewing the world.
I'll tell you what the Maharal says. Everything is here in the world to show something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's here in the world to show something about Hashem. Nothing was created for self. Like we say under the chuppah, Sha'akol bara l'chvodoy. Everything is here to reflect and to show something about the Eibishter. Chas Hashem, if a person lives a life that he has nothing to do with the Eibishter, he's not called a reality. That's what it's Chazal said, Rishayim afilu b'chayim, kuri mesin. A Russia that has nothing to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's a walking corpse. Hi, he's coming, he's going, he can even own his private plane. He's a mess. The only true reality in the world is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And everything is measured according to that yardstick. How much does it have to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? That's what it means, Hashem Echad. Who personifies this concept? Am Yisrael. Look at our history and look what we went through, and you'll see that our whole history is pointing out to this Yisrael. There's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the juice, we beat Sancheriv in one night, the superpower of the world, 185,000 soldiers. We're killed in one night by Amalek. Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tachishun. And if Chas v'Shalom fakert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu disconnects the plug, there's nothing left. Where's the only time, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, Abu Isai, the only time that the Torah asks a rhetorical question and answers it? No, that's not rhetorical. What? Sorry? That's not rhetorical. Why is it rhetorical? It's a good question to answer. Rhetorical. Like a rhetorical question.
The same one.
Okay, we all say the same one.
Yeah.
Why did Hashem choose you? It's not mentioned as a question. It's mentioned as a statement. But it says a question of Boisai. And Shira Sazino, Pasha Azino, that Kushbo was asking the Goyim, Echayir tof echad elef v'shnayim unisur v'baba. Did you ever wonder how could one Goy go after 1,000 Jews and two Goyim after 10,000 Jews? Did you ever wonder that? Now she says it's a question to the Goyim. And the Torah answers, "Im lo, isn't it because kitzuram mecharam v'Hashem yizgiram?" Hakadosh Baruch Hu just hand them over. That's a rhetorical question of the Torah. Meaning, Rabbi Yisrael, it's like the water situation in Eretz Yisrael. Let's compare the water situation in Eretz Yisrael to the water situation in Egypt. What will happen if it won't rain 50 years in Egypt? What will happen? Nothing. They got a Nile. What will happen if Chas v'Shalom, it will never happen, there won't rain in Eretz Yisrael? There's no water. Well, you don't have any like side treasures and natural resources? You don't have a bank account in Switzerland? No. When Hashem gives, we have. If Hashem doesn't give, we don't have. That's all reflecting Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad means that there's nothing but Hashem. And we personify it. We have... that's a Kamlema Seder and Tisha B'Av come out on the same night. B'tzeisim Yimitzrayim, B'tzeisim Yerushalayim. They're both echoing the same concept. That we have nothing of self. Zero. Just when Hashem gives it, we have it. If Hashem doesn't give, nothing. It's like I'll give you a phone without a battery and I'll ask you, try to use it. Please, try to use it. He said, no, there's no battery inside, which I do. No, I said, press around with the buttons. Nothing will happen. That's the kind of voice that if someone ever asks, how come the Jews did not fight back in the Shoah? Pasha, you can't explain to this concept. We don't have anything if Hashem doesn't give us the source. Nothing. That's this pasuk. Echad yodof elef, Hashem yisrabama. Ein lanu klum. By the grand, the Maharal says, even when they lose, they fight to the last drop of blood. By Am Yisrael, if we lose, it's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us in. And if the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us in, there's nothing what to fight with. This is a Maharal in the beginning of Pashas B'chukorsa. If you want to look it up there, look it up. It's Meir in the voice where he says that. As if he wrote it today. Am Yisrael is personifying the concept of there's nothing but God. Look at us, you'll see there's nothing. We have nothing of self. But I want to conclude that my Rebbe once asked, Rav Moshe Shapira, how come in the Ani Mami, the name Yisrael doesn't appear once in the 13 Yud Gimel Ikrim? Shouldn't it be important to say we're the chosen people? Isn't that part of a fundamental of our religion? The word Yisrael doesn't appear once in Ani Mami. You hear Rabbi Golka? The hell? The word Yisrael doesn't appear once. Interesting. Shouldn't it appear? With the chosen people? Shouldn't that be there? No. Because we have nothing of self. We're just a clean window. And what do you see through us? Hashem Echad. And Hashem Echad is mentioned on the second Nikar. The Yizechad. So, Boisai, in Yetz Hashem, from now on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will illustrate that He's Echad through Simchas of Am Yisrael, and through good things which are happening to Am Yisrael. That's the way that He'll show it. There's other ways how to show it, but hopefully that won't reoccur anymore. There's nothing about us which is self. We're just here to show. You know what we're here to show? That there's nothing in the world but Hashem. So we personify this nothingness. That's us. That's what it means. Shema Yisrael. So why does it say Shema Yisrael? Duch Yisrael. Here, the Olam here speaks Yiddish. What does Duch mean? Through Yisrael, you see Hashem looking at Hashem. That's what it means. Through us, look at our history. You'll see. There's nothing but a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rabbi said we should all be saying, I'm going beyond my time. I'm sorry, I came a little bit late also. What? You want to, what, I'm sorry? You want to ask a question?
So why does it say Shema, not Do?
Shema means chap, understand. That's what Shema means. The Havana. Rabbi said we should all be zeicher for good things happening to Am Yisrael. It's by the Shmenachem Av. Remember, from Thursday night, the bread of learning. Im Yetz Hashem.